Hey guys, Sklar Brothers here with Dan Van Kirk.
Yes.
From Dumb People Town, and we've got Adam from Adam Ruins Everything. Adam Conover on the show this
week. Hello!
Good time in Dumb People Town, right? I mean, you like to make people smarter. When they finish watching your show
and listen to
your podcast, they try and be smarter. We are going to not be focusing on those people in this episode.
No, but we are going to focus on possibly the greatest eyewitness to any one of our stories. Mulver.
The first story has one of the greatest Dumb People Town characters ever, and he didn't actually do anything wrong. Check it out.
Feral Audio.
It's Allie.
It's Allie in Georgia.
Welcome to Slumber Party, Georgia.
Hey.
We're at your house.
We are.
What are you wearing?
Pajamas.
And what's on your face?
Well, my head is my eye mask that I just got up from bed and didn't take off. So
you answered the door and I was like, why are you got a bra on your head, girl?
It does look like a bra.
You just coasted straight from your bedroom onto your couch. Now we're podcasting.
Yep. Made coffee along the way.
This was a great idea for a podcast.
Which part? Slumber Party?
Just like built in. Lazy comfort.
Totally.
We did a good job there.
This was exciting.
Good job.
Thank you. You
too. Good morning.
Hey, Allie, this is Slumber Party with Allie and Georgia.
Yeah, what did you learn?
Me first?
Yes.
Okay, we always start with one thing we learned this week. Okay, I love the meaning of sayings, like where sayings came from.
Idioms.
Thank you. Okay, so do you know where the saying, pulling out all the stops comes from. Isn't that cool?
No, I just love these so much.
I do too.
This is like a puzzle. It's like a riddle.
I know.
Okay.
Pulling out all the stops.
Sorry, I interrupted you with squeaking because I was so excited.
It's exciting.
Pulling out all the stops. Okay, can I guess?
Hold on a second. Can we pause for 1 second?
Yeah, we're getting a phone call from our guest's wife.
This is a first on Slumber Party. You locked your wife out of her apartment.
Oh, fudge.
And she really has to pee. Do you want to come over here? Or I'll just send her home. Your husband.
How far away do you
live? Oh, no.
Two blocks away.
I'm so sorry.
Talk about what we learned.
Okay. Bye. She's also pregnant. And she has to pee really bad.
What is she doing?
She's coming here. Do you want to go? You can leave if you need to let your pregnant wife into her apartment. Okay. But I think she might come in here to pee.
She probably might.
Just going to roll with it.
I think we should leave this in.
Sure.
Okay.
We'll have Glennis guest on this.
You can go do it while we're...
She sent me a text in all caps. It says, Matt, you locked me out.
Oh, no.
Are we starting over or are we going to leave this in?
I don't know. What do you think? Let's see how it sounds and then we can decide. But
Georgia?
Yeah.
Can you do me a favor?
Yes.
Can you tell me what you learned?
Yeah.
Okay. Tell me what you learned.
Okay.
What did you learn?
Okay. The meaning of the word, of the phrase, pulling out all the stops.
Can I guess?
Yes.
Does it have to do with a train and like opening up some valves on a train?
That is a really good guess.
Am I correct?
But instead of train, change train to pipe organ.
What?
Because pipe organs have stops to control the airflow through the pipes, and pulling them out increases the music volume.
No.
So you pull out of the stops and you're like, boom.
Oh,
blast
my God.
Blast it.
I feel like that's like waiting for the beat to drop, but in like 18th century church performances.
Seriously.
They're like, do continue with your patience as the stops will all be pulled.
Like instead of calling out like Freebird.
Right.
They're like, stop, pull out all the stops.
Yeah. Instead of like all these dudes with mustaches and monocles are like, ooh, he must impendingly pull the stops.
Right.
Beat's gonna drop. That's dope. Where did you learn that?
I was out and I was like. I said it. I said pulling out all the stops.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what the fuck? I don't know where that's from. And just looked it up. And you know what is amazing these days?
What?
The internet knows everything.
Are you serious?
Like you just put in like a vague idea of what you want to know. And it's like, yeah, no, everyone asks this. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Like, we get you covered. It's a good question. Yeah. Like, for example, that jet fuel can't melt steel beams.
Is that what you learned this week?
No, that's just like a 9/11 conspiracy theory.
Oh.
But when someone starts, their eyes start glazing over and they start talking about how jet fuel can't melt steel beams, you know that Bush did 9/11 is right around the corner.
Oh, dear.
Maybe he did. He's making some fantastic paintings, though, these days.
Is he really? Fuck that guy.
Yeah, he's taking a painting. You didn't know that? There's some great joke about how, that's interesting, Hitler took a painting before. Whatever. That's Bush. Do you want to know what I learned?
Absolutely.
I think you would like this one. When I learned this, I was like, I can't wait to tell George about this into a microphone and in front of other people.
Tell me.
Do you know what the word Bildungsroman means?
I don't because I don't know that is a word.
Bill, B-I-L, dung, as in dungs, Roman, like Roman. Uh-huh. Bildungsroman. I have no idea if it's Bildungsroman. I don't know how these letters go together.
Where did you hear
it? I looked it up. It was on a Wikipedia page when I was looking up an author.
Oh.
It is literary criticism. It comes from the German word. It's a coming of age story.
Huh.
A Bildungsroman is a novel of formation, and it's when someone goes on a journey of psychological or moral growth, like youth to adulthood. What kind of dumb word is that?
That's really stupid. I'd rather say it's a coming of age story.
Yeah, it's probably fewer syllables, less Germanic. But can you imagine if you were just in general culture and you're like, I think 13 going on 30 is a real cinematic Bildungsroman.
Who says that? Ebert.
Now, can everyone start saying that?
No.
What's your favorite Bildungsroman?
I don't know.
Mine is My Side of the Mountain, I think.
That's cute.
It's about a boy who goes into the forest to live by himself, and he lives in a tree, and he forages for food, and it was written in, like, the 60s. But nowadays, you'd be like, oh, this child has a severe form of autism, must live alone, and he needs protection. But in the day, it was like, Mom, Dad, I'm 8. I'm going camping for 4 years.
Later days.
But I love that book.
Well, I want to ask our guest what he learned this week.
But, yeah, he's gone, dude.
He left. Because
our guest left.
In the middle of this, his wife called to tell him that he locked her out of the apartment.
And she's pregnant. She has a urination issue at the moment.
She has to pee.
She has some urgency. I love that there's just an empty spot on the couch, a half-had cup of coffee, and a microphone sitting limply. It's like a ghost is here.
What if he never existed?
It's possible.
Oh. Let's introduce our guest and ask him what he learned this week.
I think that's a great idea.
Our guest is a comedian, a writer, a fellow feral audio podcaster.
Correct. Podcast called
We Watch Wrestling.
Who else is on the podcast?
Just my fiance.
Oh my God.
He was a writer on Pete Holmes. He was Home Show. He's a real funny guy. He's a redhead. I'm just gonna keep going.
He's sitting on the couch.
Hey, Matt McCarthy, what'd you learn this week?
I'm Matt McCarthy.
Hi Matt. I'm Matt McCarthy.
Hello.
What'd you learn?
I learned that monks who cut their hair, they shave their head except for all the hair around the sides.
Mm-hmm. Also known as your dog.
Mm-hmm.
Your Scotty dog has the same haircut.
Scotty dog. That's called a tonsure. And they do it to emulate the crown of thorns that Jesus wore.
With hair?
Mm-hmm.
I think Jesus would be like, you don't even know, dude. No, you don't even know. I wish my crown was a hair crown.
He's like, I'm sorry, you have back bangs, but I had thorns in my face.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell was that about?
I have been very, very slowly reading Ulysses by James Joyce.
Oh.
And reading it along with a podcast that's explaining it.
Oh.
Got it.
Right.
That's cool.
It's fun.
What is that? The podcast is solely to explain Ulysses or books in general?
Just Ulysses.
What? What's it called?
Rejoice. Rejoice.
Rejoice. Rejoice.
With Frank Delaney. And he's a riot. He's like, welcome to Rejoice. I'm Frank Delaney. We're still on Sandy Mount Strand. Stephen Dedalus is walking along the beach. Yeah.
Is each episode a chapter?
Oh.
I wish.
I know.
Sometimes each episode is just a sentence.
Wow. I picked up Ulysses once. I was like, I hear people talking about this a lot. And I looked at the first paragraph and I was like, yeah. Nope.
Why is it?
I've never even looked at it.
The densest shit you've ever. It just is barely, it's barely readable English.
It's just jammed packed with references to classical literature and poetry and philosophy and the Bible. So, and it's very, like, I'm in chapter 3 now. The podcast is already in its second year, like, and I'm on page 40.
Oh, my God.
Right. And he keeps digressing and talking about Shakespeare and stuff. And he's like, I'm sorry, I'm trying to stay on track. This is going to take 28 years.
Oh, who's more pretentious, James Joyce or the guy doing the podcast?
I think James Joyce.
Probably James Joyce.
I don't know. He was on opium, though, so I feel like you're not. Well, I don't know if he was really on opium. I absolutely just fabricated that, but I imagine that he was on opium.
Oh, he definitely hit the sauce.
Okay, right? He was a drunk.
He loved whacking it back. He was also going blind.
Really?
Yeah.
Whacking it back was... Did he... Whacking it back sounds like a euphemism for masturbation, which is what will make you blind.
Oh, that's whacking it off.
Oh, I've been doing it wrong the whole time.
Whacking it back.
Wrong way, Allie.
Whoops.
That'd be like... knocking it into your stomach.
Ouch.
Terrible.
Wait, what prompted you to dive into Ulysses?
I've just always been curious about it. I've never read it, always been intimidated by it. And then it dawned on me, there's a podcast about everything. Maybe there's a podcast about explaining Ulysses. And then there was.
I don't even know if Bildungsroman can apply to like Shakespearean literature.
He definitely comes of age.
Right? I just learned that word, and it's a German word.
Let's ask Matt a slumber party question.
I think that's a dope-ass idea.
Slumber dumber.
Matt, you know what? I'm going to ask my favorite, because I bet you have a good answer. What is your secret, your home after a show that you performed at? You want a snack, you're hungry, you go into the kitchen, and you make your weird secret midnight snack that's like this. That's weird.
A weird secret midnight snack?
Mm-hmm.
I try not to complicate my food for me. I like to eat things ready to go.
Like what?
Well, if we have Fig Newtons in the cupboard, I'll eat those. Mm. Or I'm really into these V8 fusion juice where it's vegetable juice but with a lot of fruit juice in it, so it tastes good, but it's still a serving of vegetables. I love whacking those back. But I also like, what are those blocks of cheese you can get? Like the extra sharp and like the red...
government cheese?
Not government cheese.
Tillamook.
That's a wheel. Yes, Tillamook.
Oh, yeah.
I like Tillamook is a...
That's the biggest process brand. I'll go through because we have like a cheese, like... What's that?
Grater? No,
we have a grater, but roller? We have one where you can just slice off one little piece at a time.
I've never owned one of those before.
Is it a cheese
roller?
It's the
best.
The thing with a wire and a roller?
It's just a knife with a hole in it. But it's also kind of like a spatula with a hole in it that has a knife. Because then you slice it off and then you can serve it.
I have a question. Do you get that for your wedding? Because that's the thing that you register for.
Yeah. I don't know if it was necessarily a wedding gift, but it was definitely came from my wife. So it came from the wedding.
That's not.
I wouldn't
thing.
Own it if I didn't have my wife.
It's not a thing that a bachelor who watches a lot of wrestling owns.
No, I would just be biting into the block of cheese. Cheese biter, whacking it back.
You're basically eating a giant block of cheese like you would like string cheese, but with a tool.
Right, and it's so good.
Do you want to know something I still think about?
Yeah,
tell it to me.
It's been 20 years.
Yeah,
it's been over 23 years since I saw this. I went to my friend's house. Her name was Allie Whipple. And we sat down to watch Pretty Woman. And she took a roll of cookie dough and she peeled it like a banana and just bit into it. And we just sat there. She's
like,
snacking.
Peeled the plastic off?
That's
just
not
snacking.
Right.
Ew.
Like, I don't like breakfast burritos because I don't like taking a big bite of eggs. Like, I like the small little partitions.
That's interesting.
Do you not like eating things with your teeth?
No, I do, but I mean, it's if I'm used to a small portion, then I don't like to be overwhelmed with it. Like, I wouldn't want to, like, a mouthful of salsa or something, you know?
So you take your food like you take your Joyce.
But, like, when I get upset eating French fries, if they're too small, because then I can't have a big mouthful.
Yeah, like constantly picking French fries out of the thing is like, just give me, I just want a big bite of French fries.
I feel like my hands don't work anymore. Like, I feel like a T-Rex trying to pick up things.
Allie, you look confused.
I only eat French fries one at a time.
What?
Right, see, I want to have as much in my hand and in my mouth as I can.
You eat French fries only one at a time?
One at a time.
That would make me nuts.
Really?
Yeah. I do 3, 4.
I do one at a time because you want to coat the whole thing in ketchup or ranch dressing.
That's why I like the steak cut fries.
Yeah, that's a good point. Because it's like 10 little French fries.
This episode's making me really hungry.
I know.
Do you guys know that down the street from here, there's an H Salt Fish and Chips, like old school?
Oh, yeah. I've never been in there.
And
never.
I think that they filmed Spinal Tap in there. You know when they're interviewing the dudes in their restaurant? I think it's that place.
I need to rewatch.
We never go there. This is right next to Wedge between like the Rite Aid and there's like a uniform store
it's
there.
It's a weird
and a flower
little,
store.
Yeah.
The garlic place next to it is terrible.
Oh, that new garlic. I think we should do a live episode from H Salt Fish and Chips and just fucking eat fish and chips and see how they are.
You've never had a better idea. This is the best
you've
idea
never
I've
had
ever
a better
had.
Idea. I know.
And you've had some good ass ideas.
Thank you.
You woke up with a bra on your head.
I
so
not
never
a bra
done anything better.
Even Glennis thought it was a bra.
I know.
That was amazing.
It looks like a bra, but
listen, it's this fucking eye mask that I got from Bed Bath and Beyond, and it's amazing because it's got like boob. It's got like cones for your eyes so that it doesn't press on your eyelashes and eyes, and it's amazing.
I knew it was a face mask.
You did?
I knew.
I'm wearing a bra that is identical in texture and size.
Does it have now? Okay.
Like, wait, Matt, close your eyes. Dustin, close your eyes.
Let me show you.
I've never worn a bra.
Allie's going to flash me. That's hilarious.
It's your eye mask
right
now.
Same thing.
Okay, you guys can
look. All right, you can look.
There's really quite literally nothing to see.
Allie took her bra out, everybody.
I feel like we should do a side by side. You'll see they're very identical.
It's true.
Let's ask about ghosts.
Ghosts?
Let's get straight to it.
Matt,
have you ever seen a ghost?
Never.
What about an alien?
Never. There was a haunted house in my neighborhood growing up.
What?
Bury the scary lead.
Yeah. What? Who?
It was, I grew up in Rumford, Rhode Island. So it's like there were some old farmhouses and colonial houses.
Haunted.
This is interesting. I actually ran into somebody randomly at a show who was from the same town, and she just by chance grew up in the house next door.
Oh my God.
And she knew this whole story, and she didn't know what the origin of it was. Meaning that a developer bought up all this land. When I grew up, it was all just fields next to this reservoir along Pleasant Street and and Miller. Yeah. And then he developed all the land. He built this huge brick mansion deep in the woods and then was living there for a little while. Then he it was this big real estate deal. And I got this whole story from my dad because he's a lawyer. And so he knew all the other lawyers. What wound up happening is they sold the brick mansion. They were moving into this colonial house, which was always there. My brother, when he was a paper boy, delivered papers to it. And everybody thought that the family who lived in it was really weird because they didn't live in the main house. Mm-hmm. They just lived in the back of the house. There was like an addition with like basically a smaller house added on. Mm-hmm. And they always claimed it was just easier to heat that way. So that's why they lived there and they didn't live in the main house. Right. So then this whole deal got brokered where it was this other guy was selling his house to his brother and he was moving into the brick house and then they were moving into the colonial house. All of a sudden one day the wife wants out of the deal. Mm-mm. She wants out of the deal. Now this is what this girl I met knew. She was like, yeah, I remember all that. Like they were supposed to move, then they wouldn't, then they had to. So the lawyer is finally getting the story on what's the deal. She's in the colonial house. Deciding where to put furniture and stuff. She hears footsteps and like arguing upstairs. And so she goes to the foot of the staircase to see what's going on. She says she saw a man and a woman in colonial clothes talking. God. And then they stopped and like turned and looked at her.
Oh God.
And she ran out of the place.
Oh God.
So now the lawyer, my dad's friend, is like, okay, we got one. We got one on our hands. And so he starts asking, because they're renovating the house, he starts asking workers if they ever saw anything. And some of the painters were like, well, now that you mention it.
My eyes are terrible.
We heard banging in parts of the house where nobody was working.
Oh, my God.
Stuff would move. Tools would move. then the deal gets done and they have to move in. This is the, the last part. This is the best part.
Oh, divorce. Oh,
they had an electrician who was working on stuff and she couldn't be there. Probably went out shopping. You women and your shopping.
That's all we do. I thought you meant the electrician was a woman and
I was
really
so excited too.
Let's say the woman, let's say the electrician was a woman.
That's okay. The scariest part is that a woman is electrician.
That is. So then she comes back and she asks him how everything looks. You know, a lot of old wiring, like that, you know, probably from like the 30s with like cloth over the wire and stuff. Right. And so then she says, the electrician says, yeah, you know, it was fine. I mean, I was walking around the house. Your daughter was asking me what I was doing and stuff. And she's like, we don't have a daughter. And he's like, what are you talking about? There was a little blonde girl in a blue dress following me around asking me what I was doing.
Stop it.
I'm dying.
Stop.
Is that the best? Yeah.
Allie's going to throw up.
Down the block from my house growing up.
Holy shit.
Did they move in?
They moved in, and then they lived in the back of the house because it was easier to heat that way.
Yeah, right. Shit.
Oh, my God. Like, yeah, why was your daughter wearing a bonnet and spats? And had, like, a gun, like a knife wound.
Yeah.
And this little girl with half a head was following me around.
Oh, that's so creepy. They lived in the back house because it was bright, because it was better. Creepy? You know why? Because there was a chill, a pervading chill that couldn't be heated away.
Mm-hmm.
It was a wind of death.
Ooh, it's so cold in this room.
Oh, my God. What the fuck? Let's go there. Is it still there?
It's still there.
Oh, my God. Someone live there?
Yeah. I don't think that couple lives there anymore. I don't know who lives there now, but I mean, it's like, come on.
Let's check on Google Street View and see if you can see a tiny blonde girl in a bonnet
in a window.
A musket.
That's a great idea.
That's a really good idea.
Oh, I have goosebumps.
I'm scared.
But do you believe in ghosts, or do you think that they're just fun?
There's got to be something. There's got to be something.
Yeah. Did you grow up believing in like afterlives and like, P.S. if you don't share that with your brother, you're going to hell forever.
Oh, yeah.
You were raised Catholic.
Irish Catholic. Ooh. You know, I had nuns in school that, you know, were going to go to hell and stuff.
They were going to go to hell?
No, we were. Oh. If we didn't listen to them and learn, you know, geography.
You're absolutely going to rot in the underworld for eternity.
Burning and interning.
At what point were you like, oh, fuck this?
Honestly, it wasn't until like early high school, and I was listening to when I discovered Bill Hicks for the first time, and he was talking about, you know, I can't remember how Bill put it exactly. Then George Carlin kind of made the same point and articulated it a little bit better of like, there's this God who loves you. But the way Carlin did it was like, there's an invisible man in the sky and he has a list of 10 things he doesn't want you to do. And if you do any of those 10 things, he will send you to a place where you will burn and suffer forever and ever for all time. But he loves you, you know, but like Bill said it, I feel like Bill said it first and a little more like intense of like God is infinite love, but you know, he just the idea like once I realized I didn't believe in hell, then I was like, it was just so liberating, the feeling of like, oh, it's like hell is something we do to ourselves, you know,
here on earth.
Yeah,
God sounds like a dick if that's the truth.
Well, it's interesting too, like you learn when you grow up with really tight religion, like I grew up with Catholicism as well. Like you, it's just hitting me right now, this realization, like, oh, I was taught that love is 100% conditional.
100%, yeah.
Yeah.
God loves you infinitely, but he will torture you if you don't do what he says.
Right.
He's like an abusive husband.
Kind of, yeah. Mm-hmm. That doesn't, like, I'm just realizing
you're just
that
realizing
right now.
It says,
how do you feel?
It's as though it's some sort of archaic form of thinking.
Do you guys think that you took that into your, like, grown-up
100%.
Life?
I know that because of just heaven and hell and sin and atone, mm-hmm. I have a really, and I think people with religion grow up with almost like categorizing their actions and their feelings a lot because it's so dichotomous. It's almost like,
it doesn't flow. Like,
because it's so black and white in religion where it's just like, you're either you're going to hell or you're going to heaven. Like you're good or you're bad. like you're sinning, you're not. It's like, I think religion teaches you to categorize things in these really stark ways that are unnatural and not good for life ever. But you grow up with this and like the stakes couldn't be higher. It's not even like if you do this wrong, like you might fuck up. If you do this wrong for fucking ever, your skin's going to burn.
But I think that it's so weird that you can be like, can I get a forgiveness, please? And they're like, great, you're forgiven. Like you could do anything, right?
Right.
The forgiveness thing is hilarious. It's like, say this chant 50,000 times and you're good to go.
That's what I totally picked that up. Bill Hicks, man, because it was like, it was the first time I realized, oh, it's not just black and white. It's all gray. Mm-hmm. It's just gray area. And then the idea of, like, he even touched on that of like, oh, you have to go to a priest to forgive you of your sins. He's like, what? He's like, there's no need for a middleman. There is a living God inside of you, you know?
Yeah.
It's, because it's also, it didn't make any sense because that's what they teach us. It's like, well, we're all pieces of God. We all have God inside of us. Well, then what do we need some guy in a robe with a tonsure?
I was going to say.
Oh, shit.
So this was a really Bildungsroman story of you coming of age. So you were in high school. Is that when you started listening to comedy and that's when you kind of started
shifting? No. I always loved comedy. I wanted to be a comedian since I was like little, like small, yeah.
When did you realize that? That's adorable.
I mean, that's just all I cared about was laughing and making other people laugh. And you know, but it was, you know, it's like it seems so impossible and like not a real viable option, you know. And then it was once later in high school, and particularly a girl that I dated in high school made me feel real shitty and stupid about it.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Why? What'd she fucking say?
I will never forget it as long as I live. We were on the phone one time talking about what we want to do, like after school or after college, and she's telling me about everything that she wants to do and all these different things. And then finally gets to my turn to say something. And she's like, you know what I've always wanted to do my whole life?
Like admitting it to someone finally.
And she cut me off and goes, don't say stand-up comedy. And then I immediately retreated and was like, no, of course not. No, that's so stupid. Why would I?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's so sad. Live your dreams, you guys.
I want to go back and unplug her phone. Like before she
I want to go back and unplug her.
Right. What is she? Do you look her up on Facebook?
No, I couldn't care less.
I want to find out.
Healthy. Yeah.
That's healthy.
Yeah.
Is it healthy that I just want to make sure that she has like six terrible children.
She lives on some soy farm or something in Vermont and thinks she's hot shit. She's a fucking loser.
I'm so sorry. What a sad little lady.
I know.
She probably wanted to be a stand-up comedian.
But I also learned that too. It's like it had nothing to do with me. She was just filled with so much sadness and insecurity that she had to take it out on somebody else.
It's amazing that you still, not that you still went for it, but that like, your dreams weren't like never crushed.
I know. Well, it's a calling, you know.
Yeah.
It was something that it was inside of me. Very
Isn't
small.
Everyone in your family like doctors and lawyers and shit?
They're all lawyers.
Really? Wait, are you the youngest of kids? How many kids?
I have a brother and a sister, both lawyers, both a decade older than me, 9 and 10 years older.
Oh wow.
Colleen and Michael. And then my father was a lawyer, retired, and my mother is a retired teacher.
Wow.
But then I realized it's all the same job. It's all standing in front of a group of strangers, convincing them you know what you're talking about.
Which is stand-up comedy also. Mm-hmm.
Stand-up comedy, lawyering, teaching.
That's what do they think of the fact that you did this?
Well, it just makes so much sense.
Right.
You know, everybody that I went to school with when they found out I was doing this, they were like, yeah, of course. Of course.
That's so cool.
I mean, it was a combination of being so dissatisfied with my day job and then just being literally just fed up with people telling me I should be a comedian.
What was your first time doing stand-up like?
It's weird. I was thinking about it earlier today. It was terrible.
What happened? Was it open mic?
No, it was. I definitely did like one or two open mics before I did a show in front of like actual people. So it was a bringer show. So you had to bring like, you know... Mm-hmm. I brought like 10 or 15 people.
Wow.
And the set was terrible. I was terrible.
How old were you?
23.
Oh, that's a baby.
Yeah.
What do you feel like you've learned, like, if you had to go back and be like, oh, man, here's some Ulysses Cliff Notes on how to be a stand-up comedian?
I mean, just, I was just so wound up, and I had my notes written on, like, I'd cut a circle with my jokes and pasted it to the face of the wristwatch I was wearing, so I'm pretending to look at what time it was.
No.
Yeah.
That's such over-preparation, and it's amazing.
I was so scared.
That's so
little tiny baby.
I don't know, just more, I don't know. I don't know what Cliff's Notes I would tell myself. Just being more comfortable and being like, you know, just to relax and enjoy. And it's like.
Also, don't do bringer shows.
Ugh.
Like a seven drink minimum, and it was in the.
Oh, yeah. The club was the worst. It was
the
worst.
You met your wife through comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. She told me she had a crush on you.
She liked me for 6 months.
Really? Know how to say to you, ask me out, dude. Right? Something like that?
Well, I still think she's out of my league. So I never said a thing to her.
She's walked in here with your baby in her body.
And our first baby on a leash.
And she's out of your league.
What if, like, you really just had a child on a leash? Like, that's what you're...
Well, that's what I think when I see people with those, like, you know, they wear the baby has like a monkey backpack
with
the tail, but you have your kid on a leash.
I feel like that you make people make fun of those people until they have a kid that needs a leash, and they're like, this kid, I'm saving this kid from killing itself and running into the street. Like, if you have a hyperactive kid and you're like, I don't give a shit anymore, I'm putting him on a leash. Am I defending people who put their kids on leashes?
It sounds like it.
I don't know, man.
Keep
I think
safe.
My nephew could have fucking done a lot of damage to himself, but he never had a leash, but he could have used one.
Can I just say, as a human being that has been hit by a car.
Right.
Uh-oh.
It's fine.
Oh, getting hit by a car?
Yeah, it's fine. I got a $500 settlement from that, you guys.
$500? That's
500 bucks?
I was 12 years old. I was crossing the street. I was new to the neighborhood, and we moved to a very rich neighborhood. We rented like a shitty house because the schools were really good. And my sister was, we were crossing the street, and she was like, go after this BMW. And I was so new to the neighborhood, I couldn't tell the difference between BMWs and Mercedes.
I can't sometimes.
And I was like, which German luxury car is which? And I dashed out into the street, and I got hit by a Mercedes.
Oh, my God.
I flew up on the hood.
Holy shit.
Wow.
And I saw the whole world go whoosh, like a roller coaster, go backwards. Oh, and then God. I landed on the ground, and I had just gotten new back-to-school pants the day before. And I was like, oh, no, these pants are going to be ripped. I know it. I'm screwed. And I got up, and the pants were fine, and I was like, oh, that's good. It's fine.
Were you hurt?
Yes. Anyway, it was a 16-year-old driving her parents' Mercedes, and they settled out of court. They gave me 500 bucks, and I was like, cha-ching.
Fuck that. The amount of money your parents could have gotten from, like, damages of things that happened, like you getting your fucking finger caught in the escalator.
My whole hand was caught in an escalator from a major retail chain, and I got... $1,200 settlement for it.
Your parents
I still
rich.
my hand still doesn't work. Anyway, you get hit by a car, it's fine. It's not always fine.
$500.
I was like, well, it's a lot of pixie sticks I can
did
buy.
Did you even tell your parents? Did you negotiate it as a 12-year-old?
No. But they're like, you'll get a bag of gummy bears.
I remember that the fire trucks came and the ambulances came. And I just remember apologizing so much to the firemen for having to come all the way down. And they're like, why are you saying,
sorry,
you just got hit by a car. And I was like,
so
I'm
so Catholic.
And then my parents came and I apologized. And I'm like, sorry, you guys didn't get out of work for this, man. I'm sorry. And they're like,
oh my God.
You're 12. You got hit by a car.
And so your sister's not taking very good care of you.
Well, you know, we didn't know the difference between luxury cars. Anyway, so yeah, that is probably a Catholic thing, being like, I'm so sorry.
So guilty, yeah.
Yeah, do you still do that?
Do you still feel sorry for things?
Yeah, well, I constantly feel guilty, you know? And, like, I didn't even think I was good enough to be with the woman I was meant to be with,
God.
I mean, it's...
Did you sabotage it for a while? Were you like,
no,
are you sure you don't want out?
I didn't even... as soon as I found out she liked me, I was like, oh, we're getting married. It's like, that's it.
She's a doll, by the way.
Yeah.
She just lights up a whole room.
She's
You're
great.
Like, oh, sorry, I'm staring
best.
At your wife.
She's my favorite.
She took your last name, too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she did? That's pretty... I don't know why that, to me, is like, it's such a huge deal.
Because she's a performer, too, so that's...
Right.
That's kind of... That is a big
And
deal.
I would never fucking do that.
I knew a guy that took his wife's
wow.
last name, and then they got divorced.
Oh,
yeesh.
Yes.
And she cheated on him.
I know. It's fine.
Maybe she didn't respect. No, that's. I'm not going to say that.
Not cheated. She had an emotional affair, but that's neither here nor there.
That's cheating.
That's cheating.
But I don't know. Who takes names anymore?
My sister fucking did it like a month ago.
I think it's cute when people combine them.
Well, it's it wasn't too far off from her name.
Oh.
McMurray, McCarthy.
Oh, yeah, that's cute.
So she kept all of her towels. But the other thing I think is funny is it's like, well, it's not even your name.
Yeah.
It's your father's name. So it's still, it's this whole.
That's true.
It's all made up anyway.
Unless you're George's mom.
Oh, my mom fucking got divorced from my dad and was like, changing my last name, making it up. She just made up a last name.
Really?
It was the month she was born in. She was like, I'm not my dad's last name anymore. I'm not your shitty father's last name anymore. My dad's not shitty. My mom just hates him.
That could be the title to a memoir.
My dad's not shitty. My mom just hates him. That's a great
like
name for a book.
That is amazing.
That is a bestseller.
Exactly.
Wow.
So she made up a last name. Yeah, I guess that's true. That isn't my dad.
What's your last name?
March.
March.
It's a good one.
Born
it's a
good in name. March.
Yeah, I guess Allie November doesn't quite have the ring to it.
George June? No.
George June. Georgia June.
I just
there is something a little drag queeny about it.
It is. Why
come
would
to the
I,
stage, Georgia June.
Why would I take... But then if I take his last name, I'm taking his dad's last name. That's like even shittier. I'd rather have my dad's last name, who isn't a dick, than his dad's last name, who might have been... he wasn't a dick, but he... I'm confusing myself.
Identity is an interesting... It is interesting that that as women up until like a decade ago would be like, and identity is provided by men.
You're it is like, interesting that...
Well, it's a rose sister's... by any other name. It's you make the name... You give it meaning.
Sure.
Right.
You can't allow anyone else to dictate to you what it means.
Well, I just had to tell my dad that he's not walking me down the aisle when I get married.
How do you take that?
I don't... He's fine.
Are you just going to roll solo?
I'm just going to fucking...
So you're going to come down on a Segway by yourself?
Oh, my God.
That's cool.
You're just full of great ideas today.
Glennis went down the aisle with her sister and her cousin.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, that's cute. Mm-hmm. Is that because, is her dad a dick or not?
He, unfortunately, he's no longer with us. Okay. He was still alive at the time, but he had early onset Alzheimer's.
Oh.
Just, it's not even a disease. It's a sin. Yeah. It's the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. Yeah.
She works. Yeah. She does charity shit for
mm-hmm.
them.
Yep.
I tasted some wine in honor of Alzheimer's. I was like, I can totally get behind this charity. I can buy some wine.
There's a wine sale. Like you know, why don't they do that instead of a Girl Scout cookies? Why don't adult charities be like, you want to buy this wine? It's slightly
wine.
Marked up.
It's a great
You're
idea.
Gonna love it. Yeah. Why don't people do that?
I don't know. Let's fucking
because
do that.
You are full of ideas
I'm
today.
Just an idea factory.
Write this shit down.
Cha-chang, cha-chang.
I'm seriously.
That is a good idea. If you're just like, here are things that people would buy anyways.
Right.
Weed. Here's some weed for charity.
Markup. You know you want it. It's thin mint flavored. I don't know.
Buy it
come
anyways.
And get
Samosa.
It.
Samosa. What's your perfect day? Like, you could design your day, start to finish. You wake up, you're doing a thing.
You're somewhere.
Be anywhere.
Wow.
What would you do?
It's ironic because I hate being in the sun, but I would love to be near the beach or near the water. I would love to go swimming in the shade.
We should.
Yeah.
We should note that you are a very pale ginger.
Oh, man.
I saw you walking down the street the other day with a giant umbrella.
I have it outside.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
That's precious.
Because you burn so easily.
Oh, yeah. I'm covered in freckles. I have freckles on parts of my body that never see the sun.
Like what? No. Don't tell me.
So you're swimming in the shade.
Yeah.
I mean, it would also involve watching TV. Maybe I also like a crowded house. I like a lot of people around.
Aww.
You know, it's some hot dogs or some hamburgers or something.
Would you be performing at all, or would you be taking the day off?
That could be cool too.
You should have a barbecue. That's also a show. That maybe wasn't my best idea.
Fun.
Wasn't there someone that did that?
There
that
is one in like Burbank. There's like a...
Someone just turns their backyard into a comedy show.
There is one.
Oh, yeah, I've been to a couple shows like that.
So you wouldn't be doing that, though?
I did one show like that where it was like, you know, the backyard was basically just like the parking area. And they share the place with a couple families. And one family, I feel like it was a BMW or a Mercedes or something, like a nice car. just smashed to hell, covered in bird shit, because there is a wild peacock that basically moved in and took over that car. The peacock did it all. Smashed the car up, shit all over it.
Kidding me.
And so then when the show started, like, the peacock kind of gets freaked out by all the people and just goes up to the top of the car and stays there.
This is my dream.
Can we go there right now? This is our perfect day.
We can go there.
This is our perfect day.
I want a peacock to take over my car so bad.
Is that wild?
I want to see a menacing peacock. I want to have a menacing peacock throw me so much shade.
Do you know that peacocks, like, scream? They're so loud.
Like goats?
Do they really?
They're loud squawkers.
You know what's funny to see is when you see a peahen. It's a female peacock, and they're just brown with, like no tail.
Sorry, dude.
Yeah.
But peacocks are doing it to get attention?
Yeah, they're the roosters of the situation. And a peahen is essentially like a lady chicken.
I lived in the valley, and down the street, there had been a bush gardens, you know, like the wild animal parks and stuff.
That's so funny.
In the valley, this is in Panorama City, because there's a bush plant there, so it always smelled disgusting and like yeast, because they were always... Anyways, when they closed the bush gardens, they just let all the wild birds out.
Mm-mm.
So they lived in the trees.
They just let them out,
yeah,
the poor things?
So my car used to be covered in like wild bird shit, which is just like... huge, like disgusting and huge, and you could never get your car clean because these like fucking tropical wild birds lived in these trees and just shit all over your car.
Wow.
Is that why I feel like there's some, I read somewhere that we have a bunch of parrots in LA because a bunch escaped from like a either a pet store or an enclosure in Burbank or something, but I don't know. I need to research that.
Yeah, there are parrots. I think that's so fucking cool just to look up.
We saw a couple of those parrots the other day.
I think there's a lot in Atwater. They're just wild, just packs of... They're like a gang. They're very loud.
Cool.
I feel like I really interrupted your perfect day, and I'm so sorry. I started talking about barbecue shows. I don't know what's wrong with me.
I don't know. I don't know what my perfect day would be.
It sounds pretty good.
I'd like some TV and some back rubs and maybe some beers and some friends.
Sounds solid.
I'm a simple man. My favorite meal is hot dogs cut up in macaroni and cheese. I don't need much.
What?
I love that. So good.
Did you eat that as a kid?
I eat that as an adult. I haven't had it in a long time, though. I do have a pack of Hebrew National sitting in my fridge, but I don't have any mac and cheese. I got really sick of mac and cheese.
What kind of mac and cheese? It has to be like Velveeta, or does it have to be like the powdered shit?
Yeah, I would do the powdered shit just because that's what I grew up on, but I got sick of it. Annie's is pretty good, too.
Yeah.
I would probably like it again because I haven't had it in, you know, a long time, maybe even a year and a half or something.
Do you cut up the hot dogs and grill them and throw them in?
I boil them. Boil the hot dogs, baby. The first time I ever saw my brother put a hot dog in the microwave and like the ends split. Have you ever seen? It's crazy.
Yeah.
I know. What's
I'll microwave a hot dog.
I've done it.
I like boiling it. Boil it up.
Question.
Save the water, drink it. No, not that part.
I was going to say, what happens to hot dog water?
Hot
dog water has a really distinct smell, and I was just talking about it like recently. I forget what, but I smelled something that smelled like hot dog water, and it was like on point. And it's a, you know, that it's the smell. Like,
oh, yeah, 100%.
You're just like,
it smells like hot dogs. And
it'll eventually become a thing. It's like people started coming out of the closet about drinking pickle juice.
Hot dog water's next.
They're like, shit. I drink hot dog water.
They're going to make
the name
it
of my book.
And Jennifer Aniston's like selling it, hot dog water.
Right.
Bottled hot dog water.
It's like coconut water. It's so many electrolytes.
Yeah. You should totally do it.
I had a question about hot dogs or something.
Protein water.
Oh, God.
So whacking back some protein water.
No! I forgot what my question was.
About hot dogs?
No, I can't remember.
They're good.
It went bye-bye.
Betty White eats hot dogs every day, she says.
Does she really?
She goes, she said, I would never recommend it to anyone, but they're just so good.
Oh, why is she so cute?
She is the cutest.
You know what's interesting is if you eat a Slim Jim and you have extra time and you're reading the packaging on a Slim Jim, the first ingredient is beef hearts.
Oh.
And I always think it's interesting that they specify, like the beef is an adjective and not a noun in that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what? Just tell me it's beef. It's fine. Like, you don't have to, that's
beef
too much
hearts.
Detail. But if you read a package of hot dogs, it wouldn't be like pig buttholes,
specifically.
Pig tails.
I did shows in China with Tom Shalhoub once. And when we went to eat, he specifically said it was his second trip there. And he said to our guide, don't tell us what we're eating until we've eaten it. And they brought out a bit, they just kept bringing out stuff. And this big bowl of meat, and it was delicious.
Oh.
Delicious.
Oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God.
And then when we were done, the guy was like, those were duck hearts.
Oh.
Okay.
And we were like, they're fucking good.
Allie, we're gross.
we're like,
like, they were good.
Yeah. I really expected you to say fetuses. So
oy, oy, oy.
Duck fetuses.
Although Georgia posted a video of a duck yesterday with the caption, I'm a vegetarian now.
It's this duck like in the front seat of a car and...
driving to the pond.
Yeah. No, well, I think this family must have raised him because kids were getting off of a school bus. And the minute this duck saw his kid, he starts losing his shit. Wah, 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 wah. And the kid gets in the car and he's like, hey, like gives him a kiss on the bill.
Yeah. He's just like, it's a dog. He's just like, sup. And then he cuddles him, pets him, kisses him on the bill. And then
the duck's like, I've missed you all day.
I know.
I'm so, it's like wagging its tail by going quack, quack.
Yeah.
It's so cute.
I didn't even
but we
realize
need that
it.
Heart. We'd eat his heart.
Oh. I know.
Eat your heart out, ducky.
I would eat
was
him.
It good?
It was delicious.
It was good. So it was, yeah.
I dig hearts. And when I was a kid, my mom would make chicken. She'd take the fucking gizzards and fry them up in butter for me. And I'd fucking be Hannibal Lecter and just eat the shit like as a little kid. And
well, I remember the first time because I worked out at A&P on Nantucket.
Whoa.
Which I don't even think it's there anymore. And there's a big Jamaican population on Nantucket of, you know, I mean, like, they're all laborers. They're there to, like, work and stuff, you know. And I worked with a lot of them at the AMP. And it was the first time in my life I had ever seen chicken feet for sale.
Oh, yeah.
And when I saw the package, I was just like, what?
I don't want feet. I don't want anything that's like carrying you around on the gross chicken ground, right?
Yeah, chickens don't walk on good stuff.
No, chicken ground.
But he said, no, it's good.
But there's, I mean, buttholes, hot dogs. Hot dogs are buttholes.
Yeah, but they're not in the form of buttholes. Like, I wouldn't eat a baggie of, I wouldn't cook up some buttholes.
What if those chicken feet were ground into nugs?
Fine. Fair. I would eat that. I probably do eat that whenever I eat McDonald's. Let's face
you
it.
You just want it to be emulsified.
Yes.
And then it's fine.
Turned into goo and like breaded and fried. And down I don't to, want like, it to see. I don't want to see a fucking toenail.
Right.
I don't want to see. Like when I used to eat tongue sandwiches when I'd go to the Jewish deli, as you know. And then I saw in the deli case a tongue. It's like they just shave a tongue, like a giant cow tongue. And I stopped eating it.
Wow.
Because you can see the fucking taste buds.
Yep, sure can.
Tastes you back.
I know. They just slice it with like a cheese knife. Yeah. Real thin.
And then you can feel it on your own tongue. Blah, blah, and then blah, 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 you
blah, blah.
Die.
I have the equal level of admiration and envy for Jews and gays. They're both people that I want to be, and I'm just like,
George is a gay
sucks.
Jew.
I'm not gay.
You got a bra on your head, so what does that say? I wish I were either of those things.
Is your mother Jewish?
Yeah, we're all Jewish.
Then there you go. You're really Jewish.
Yeah, I know.
I'm super Jewish.
Yeah, did you know that? You have to come from a Jewish womb.
From a lady boom.
That's what they say. I just feel like it really depends on how you were raised.
Well, yeah, it's all made up. It's all
I
made
feel
up,
like
Georgia.
Being a Jew
is fucking awesome.
Or a gay,
I dig it.
You or an interesting ethnicity, you have a view of the world that is outside, and I think it gives you some objectivity to things that have been fucked up in history. In
so
general.
You just don't want any, like you don't want to be any, you don't want to be of a privileged. Sick.
Well, I mean, I'm a lady, so we're fucked true. There. I mean, that's sure. The other thing is like being a woman, you're just like, oh yeah, I have an outside look at things. I mean, it's marginalizing and it's frustrating, but it's also interesting from an objective standpoint.
Well, it isn't apartheid because there's more women than men.
Really?
So you shouldn't be.
Oh yeah, that's.
You shouldn't be an outsider.
Yeah, 51%.
You're
right?
The majority.
I know. Doesn't mean it doesn't suck, but it's.
Oh no, I'm agreeing with
it's
you.
It's pretty awesome, though.
I do.
You can also use that fact that you're a woman to your advantage.
It's in some ways it's liberating because your job is to make things better than it was for the people that came before you.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like you're a little bit motivated to try to make things a little. You're motivated to do things a little differently. You have that like freedom.
Why
to
don't
be
you
like,
do that with Catholicism?
This is a great point. I also think that growing up Catholic. I'm so sorry, Catholics who are listening to this, but is like one of the worst mindfucks you can give your children.
You know what's really weird lately is I've been meeting...
Not the worst.
I don't even think a practicing Catholic would disagree with that.
Yeah, I don't... I mean, I'm sure that there are like harsh... There are like cults and there are like, we're not allowed to celebrate birthdays and there's things like that. But like a really, really oppressive religion that teaches you that you have an original sin from birth
right.
And you have to work really hard to oppress someone.
In the red.
You're born like
you're
essential.
Already.
Like I feel like some religions just
born
teach you your essential nature is shamey and fucked up, but you gotta work to be accepted. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, what's detrimental to people's psychology.
Yeah, I think if you'd explain Catholicism without saying what it was to someone, they'd be like, oh, that's a fucked up cult to be raised in. And they're right. Like, no, it's actually...
Sorry, Catholics.
No, it's
not
awesome.
Really. I'm not really. I'm one of you, so I feel like I can say all this shit.
I come from a long line of fallen Catholics, in so much as my heroes are Bill Hicks and George Carlin.
Listen, you don't listen to Slumber Party for fucking... I don't know what.
For religious guidance?
No.
For us to...
Well, maybe you should.
Yeah. What? Let's do Fuck That.
Okay, Fuck That.
So Fuck That is a game we play. It's two things. One thing you love so much, you would whisper to it and lay it down. Slow bone it.
We're going to end on that because we don't like to end on a negative, which is...
Yeah, but we'll start with a negative, which is one thing you're like, fuck that.
Yeah.
So we'll start with something shitty. What's a thing that you hate so much? Flames
on the side of my face.
But what's the thing you hate?
What's the thing you...
What's the worst
thing? I hate the trailer for the new goddamn Batman versus Superman movie.
So what do you hate?
The thing I hate the most, I mean, aside from this asinine idea, you get these stupid executives who think, oh, Batman was a big hit, so that's what they want. They want dark superheroes. It's like, no. Batman was a hit because you allowed Batman to be Batman. Batman is a dark character. Don't make Spider-Man darker. Don't make Superman dark. That's why they can't make a fucking Superman movie worth of shit. And now they're doing this Batman versus Superman bullshit.
Those two never met.
And they... No, they do. It's just... I fucking... It's like Bruce and Clark are... Like, they are... It is. It's like friends who get along, but, like, they see each other for what they are. So it's like they also don't get along. You know, they have different philosophies. But the thing that made me pull my fucking eyelashes off was in the trailer, at one point, Superman is talking to his mother, his adopted mother, Martha Kent, who, like, we all know the story of Superman.
Yeah.
He's an alien baby. He lands and by the grace of God is found by a kindly couple from Kansas. And they raise him with those values. And that's why he's such a good person. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's why he doesn't use his powers for evil. He uses them for good. And in the goddamn trailer at one point, he's talking to her and she goes... She says something along the lines of, like, you know, be a hero or don't be a hero. Be whatever you need them to be or don't. And then the line, she goes, you don't owe this world a thing. And I wanted to smash my computer. I was like, that's what Martha Kent's going to say to him? Are you kidding me? The only acceptable thing is that if it turns out she's like an alien wearing a Martha Kent mask, or it's like Lex Luthor fucking with him somehow. I lost my shit.
Okay, Georgia, what do you hate?
I can't remember. What do you hate?
I was going to say something not as passionate, but...
I
hate my water filter.
Oh, right.
I hate my water filter. I bought a $300 water filter.
Ooh.
To solve this...
That's more than half your settlement money.
No, I know. I've been living in LA for 15 years and buying bottled water for 15 years.
Oh no.
Which is horrible for the planet and my whole body, but I bought this water filter that's $300. It's called a Berkey filter. I did a bunch of research. It's going to last forever and it's better for the environment and it's better for me, right? So I get these filters on it. I'm so excited that I no longer ever have to purchase water, and I have been running water through it for maybe 25 gallons of water and it's still coming out murky, and it's like you have to flush the filters for a while before they come out not tasting like baking soda.
How about they do that at the fucking factory?
At the factory. So I keep trying to use it and I'm like, maybe this is the time the water is going to come out clear and tasting delicious, and it keeps tasting like baking soda, and I just am like, I'm wasting so much water just filtering it. So if anyone has a Berkey filter and they've dealt with this,
or if there's anyone, like, has a filter they like...
Well, no, these are supposed to be the best ones, but it's like they have a charcoal filter and then you screw on an arsenic and fluoride filter because all that. But the funny thing is, when I look and I see the stuff that's coming out of my water, there's a layer of rust that is coming out of my water.
I wonder if it's just your water is so fucking...
No, it
gnarly.
Comes out of this. There's like an arsenic filter that it just takes a while to filter out. Okay. Anyway, every time I take a sip of it, I'm like, God, what a... I'm not as mad about it as you are, but Georgia.
I hate... The new season of True Detective, which I know, like, everyone does, but...
I stopped watching after episode two.
That's what I know. I'm not going to stop watching it because I'm just going to keep hoping it gets better.
Is no, it just I refuse.
Too slow?
It's stupid.
It's fucking
is it
boring.
Too precious?
Boring.
It's so boring.
Precious, slow.
It's just, they're just explaining shit that I don't give a goddamn about.
And every character is like so joyless and talks like this.
So yeah. We're having an epidemic, a pandemic of two dark protagonists.
But I feel like
right.
There's something
in culture.
There's something in their life. They go home and they're like, oh, cool, a new episode of like my favorite show's on. No, like they're all just miserable constantly.
They just stop and get like a really good mm-hmm. like a muffin on the way
yeah,
home.
Like
and they're
you're
like,
so
Whoa.
Stoked that like this yeah. your favorite coffee shop started carrying coconut milk instead of just almond milk. Like something happens.
I would be so excited.
Right? Like even if you're depressed, you're like, oh cool, this is exciting. But no, they're just like the most miserable, angry fucking people.
Dumb.
All right. Let's end with Matt's love. Allie.
Georgia, what do you love?
I love, okay, I know we're not supposed to be drinking almond milk. Speaking of almond milk.
Oh, there's
what's wrong
so
with
much,
almond milk?
It uses too much water, but it's delicious.
Too much water.
Oh. Guys, I'm drinking
drought.
Almond milk right now.
I don't like I'm almond milk. That's why I don't drink it.
Well, really? Here's what you got to get. Blue Diamond almond milk. You know this brand?
Right.
They came out with a kind that has, you ready for this?
No.
A hint of honey.
Oh.
And it is fucking delicious. Mm. And you put it in cereal and your life is better.
I know, but we eat cheese.
I know.
And I have gelato.
It's
I'm
delicious.
An asshole.
It comes right from their titties.
I think
are you
going
to try your wife's tit milk, do you think?
Ew.
Yeah, you got to taste it.
That's maybe.
A weird question I just asked.
No, it was a great question. It's been hanging over us for
would
the
you,
last hour.
Would you taste boob milk, Allie?
Yeah, I would totally.
I would too.
Especially if I were a dude. I'd be like, let me hit that tap.
From your wife. But like if a friend was like, I just had a baby. And you're like, can I taste
friend,
it?
No. If the nipple has already been in my mouth from a contextual standpoint,
right.
I would be like, I'll tap that.
The what it would take for you to get into that point in your life that all of that would happen, I just want to know like how that story goes.
What, you mean with a friend?
No. That's, never mind.
You mean that I would have a nipple in my mouth?
Somehow you would have a nipple in your mouth and that person would have had a baby and then you'd be with that baby person. While
yeah.
They're like, that's
probably
how much
not,
your life has to change.
Probably not going to happen. So,
well,
you know,
that was
for the rest of us, Matt.
Digression. Allie, what do you love?
Hit the nip.
I'm hip to the nip.
I like this Instagram account that okay. makes me feel your face is like so excited because I think you think it's going to be a cute animal and
yeah,
it's
I
not.
Do.
I know. And I feel really bad. Okay. I'll give you a cute animal. This isn't the one I was going to say, but the one that I've lately obsessed with, the latest adorable dog account is, Norbert. It's a dog named Norbert. It's Norbert the dog. It's a 3-pound rescue therapy dog. It's 3 pounds. It does not look real. It looks like a gremlin. Anyway, Norbert the dog.
Okay.
But the thing I was going to say was there's an account called Wish You Were Northwest, and it's all just like camping porn. It's just like people in the woods and forest, and they look
gonna be
beautiful.
About the baby Northwest.
No, it's not Northwest. Wish You Were Northwest. Because then you'd be rich as shit.
I thought it was going to be just like a... Anyways. Got real excited.
Oh, God. Wish You Were Northwest would be the best. It would just be like the best sneakers on a 2-year-old ever. Anyway, they sell this shirt that I bought, and it's like my favorite thing ever. And it just says in block letters, iced coffee and lakes and campfires.
Cute.
It's just a tank top that says that. And I forgot that I ordered it,
that's
and it came
much
in the
your
mail.
Life.
Yeah, it came in the mail, and it's hanging up in my closet, but it's facing out so I can read it.
Matt, what do you love?
I love Black Sabbath.
Wait, Georgia, did you say what you like? I said the almond milk.
She loves almond milk
I'm
with
so
honey.
I'm so dumb today, you guys. I barely slept. I'm
you
sorry.
You have baby brain like my wife.
I'm so stupid today. Okay, you like Black Sabbath?
Yes.
What?
I just realized, I mean, I've always loved the band Black Sabbath, but it was something this week I realized, because I'm always like going through my iPod, like, not even my iPod. I can't find my iPod. I don't know where it is. But like listening to Spotify, like going through, I was like, I'm sick of this song. I'm sick of this song. I'm sick of this band. I'm sick of. I realized I've never gotten sick of Black Sabbath, and I love listening to them no matter what the song is.
Do you have a jam that is your favorite?
Either Supernaut or Sabracadabra.
The name.
They are both. It's just it's heavy and it's groovy. You know what really set me down this path is I performed at Bonnaroo a couple weeks ago, and the first band we went to see after my first performance, because all I got very lucky, all my shows were in the afternoon. So it was like the comedy tent was packed. no competition with like a big band or something. And then I went to, the first thing we saw was Brownout presents Brown Sabbath.
Oh man.
Which is the band Brownout. They just do Black Sabbath covers as Brown Sabbath. And like they're all African-American and Mexican-American.
That's so great.
Hey, tell everyone where they can find you online.
You guys can find me at WeWatchWrestlingPodcast.com. That is my wonderful, also on the Feral Audio family, that is my wonderful podcast. And I am on Twitter at McCarthy Redhead. The two things that define me, my name and my physical characteristic.
You couldn't put pasty freckles in there. It's too many letters.
Too many letters. Ooh. Not enough characters.
Too much handle.
Thanks for being on the podcast.
Thanks for having me, you guys. Yeah.
We got to meet your dog and your lady wife.
I know. It worked out perfect.
It did.
And you got to see my my little baby. He's negative 17 weeks.
Oh, that's so crazy.
I cannot fucking wait to watch that baby.
I know.
He's going to be cool. I can't wait to find out who his favorite wrestler is.
Such a dad.
Thanks for listening to Slumber Party. We're Allie and Georgia. You can find us at Allie and Georgia all over the place.
Yep, at Allie and Georgia. Listen to more things on Feral Audio. It's chock full of great podcasts. And I guess if you go through the link on Feral Audio on our page and you buy stuff on Amazon, we get like a dime or something.
And we don't know what you buy either.
We
and,
don't know what you buy.
Leave us a comment. What is it? Reviews, comments?
Subscribe, yep.
Rate. Review, subscribe.
Thank you.
Yeah, leave us a comment. And if anyone is super religious, I'm sorry.
You're going to feel bad.
I'm so sorry. I feel so guilty.
You're going to say to me, did I say too much?
No, but if somebody's super religious, then nothing we can say should have any impact on how they feel.
Right. It's just guilt. It's just guilt. It's just guilt. It's normal. It's a normal part of life. It's fine.
Go Jews. Yay, Jews.
Yay, Jews. Bye.
Feral Audio.